hot and humid, as you would expect for August 6th. And also, it seems like traditionally in August, and let me ask Ronald Serpas here, professor, practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, New Orleans native. Do you remember August as seeming more rainy and it rains earlier than normal?
Yes, it always seemed that way to me. I mean, you know, if you have family that live in Central Florida, they have it every day, like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here we're seeing them a little later in the evening, 6, 7 o'clock last night, and forecasted again for today at 6 or 7.
Yeah, it seemed like sometimes in August they come earlier, though, for whatever reason. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, it interrupts your evening stroll, Tommy.
Mm, if you take one.
That's it.
Yeah, I got a dog, Grady, G-R-R-R-A-D-Y, grrr. That's how I named it that way. And it's amazing when I tell a vet the dog's name, they get irritated at first that I have to have 3 R's in there until they realize what I did, and then they laugh. So I guess it works out. But this dog loves to go out in a pouring thunderstorm and play ball. Rather than being gun-shy, when a thunder starts to roar or roll or whatever it does and lightning strike, he picks up his ball and he wants to run outside. But that's got nothing to do with crime. Let's talk about the FBI report that's out.
Sure.
You are an analyst. Tell me what you found when you went through this.
I found nothing surprising. I mean, remember this. The FBI crime reports are voluntary submissions by police departments. So it's not all police departments. It's been like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, there's a companion report done by another part of the government that polls people across the country. When you compare those two reports together, you find out that about a half of all crime in America every year goes unreported to the police. 70 to 75% of Americans understand crime from what their friends, family, and neighbors tell them about crime. Definitely not what the government tells them about crime.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line becomes this. We in government and media count crime. People feel public safety. Those are night and day differences. So I always took them with a grain of salt. Yes, we talked about them. Yes, we celebrated if we thought they were going down in our particular city. But they're just a gauge. They're not really that informative when you think about all these other known facts and the way people perceive crime and in the amount of crime that goes unreported. What was also released this week, that doesn't get a lot of attention by the media, and that's just the way it is. But it was also released this week, the National Crime Victimization Survey, which I spoke to, which shows tremendous percentages of crimes are not reported to the police at all. Final point. And what we suffer with here in New Orleans, when you have a tremendously long wait time for property crimes, that's going to drive down the property crime reports known to the police. The reports known to the police is what the FBI uses. So when the FBI says there's an 8.1% decrease in property crimes in the cities who've contributed, many of those cities like New Orleans have experienced tremendous increased wait times since COVID. And there's definitely a factor of having a halo effect of reduced property crimes when, in fact, they might not have been reduced much at all.
You know, I remember talking to you about this and I was about perception, and I was thinking about this yesterday in anticipation of you coming on today, and that is, and I want to open the Open Our Jeweler Talking text line here at 504-260-1870. On what amount of basis or how often do you think about crime every day? Because I guess I live a sheltered life. I live in Belchase. Property crime, for the most part, I think, is non-existent, at least as far as I'm concerned. Violent crime, non-existent. I've never been a victim of a violent crime or go to places where, you know, it's for whatever reason high risk or anything like that. So I got to tell you, when it comes to crime, as far as perception goes, that would be, I don't even know how far down the rank on my list, if it even shows up on my radar at all. Is that what you're talking about, kind of like, or it all depends on where you live or how it affects you?
I think that's absolutely the case, because if you live in a suburb or a rural area, you don't hear crime daily in the news. You don't hear crime daily talked about among friends and family. There is crime, but it's definitely less. I mean, that you just can't get around that. What happens in America, and this is my personal opinion, when we hear about police practices or crime, it tends to be populated in the media centers of America, not media as an industry, but just where the big major markets are, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Detroit, New Orleans, Miami. And people who watch the news and get these national narratives about crime more often than not look around and say, well, that's not the way it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what we see with the rates of police misconduct and accusations of police misconduct. What the national narrative tells us is not the same as what says in our neighborhood. So that's why that point, Pew Research does this all the time. About 70% of Americans perceive crime based upon what their friends, families, and neighbors told them. They trust local media and the police a little bit, and believe it or not, and this is an attack against our friends in the elected group, they don't trust politicians at all. This is Pew Research, right? Because you know why it is. People feel that there may be some jaded use of the crime data, left or right, doesn't matter. But that's it, Tommy. People feel crime. Governments report crime, and those are different, like night and day.
I'm glad you said that. Let me rephrase the question for people to text in. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all, with 10 being pervasive, how do you view crime in your everyday life, or how often do you think about it? A scale of 1 to 10, I would be a 1 to 0, because I seldom even think about it other than when it's on the news. And it seems like primarily what's going on in New Orleans has been domestic as of late. We'll talk about that when we come back, and more with former NOPD Superintendent Ronald Surpass, head of the Nashville City Police and Washington State Police, now a professor at Loyola and a consultant to all kinds of different people. 820 Traffic, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Ronald Surpass. Did you ever understand why the term flatfoot was derogatory for a police officer?
I don't know. Suspected that they thought they were walking beats all the time before cars.
Probably
right?
Somebody
on your feet all day.
Yeah, somebody made up in a movie once, and everybody started repeating it. Let's talk about
Let's
talk about a number of police officers that were killed, because that number has gone up. Does that tell you anything? Can you infer anything from that? As far as why?
I'm not sure that 1 year's change of four horrible deaths tells us a lot yet. We know there's usually around 100 or so police officers killed in the line of duty. Generally, about half the time it's accidents. The other half of the time it's felonious behavior. So this is something worth watching. Young men and women who do this work are killed. Tommy, let's just go back to this other thing for a second. The brand new report that just came out last week, New Orleans would be considered urban and suburban, right? 38% of violent victimizations are reported in urban communities, 43% in suburban. That's violent crime. Property crime, about 25% of property crime in urban areas and about 33% in suburban areas is reported. Reported crimes become the UCR crime. So you can see the gap here. Tremendous amount of number of crimes just do not go reported. The loss of a police officer in service sometimes is considered an attack on society at large, because they are the most visible. They are the most visible reference of society's contract with one another to perform our lives in ways that meet moral and legalistic standards. So when police officers are killed, many people will say this is an attack on society. Many states have a death penalty for that work because of it. So it's always bad. Two police officers died in service during my time as chief, and both of them were killed in accidents. They weren't killed feloniously.
The way I look at it is that if somebody is going to intentionally murder a police officer, they would kill me or my child without it thinking twice.
I think that's accurate, and I think that's what people think, and that's one of the reasons this guy Groves, who's still missing from the Orleans Parish escape, 12 weeks ago, is that he had been convicted of murder, multiple counts of murder. He has nothing to lose. The chances of him hurting someone to protect himself from police is very high.
Let me ask you this about cameras, because I was trying to think about a reason as to why it might be up or down crime. Is there any way to determine the efficacy of cameras when it comes? Because you can't, I'll watch movies now and I'll say, well, you can't do that because that would be on a camera. You can't do that. That would be on a camera. Has that, between Ring doorbell cameras, between security cameras all over the place, has that helped decrease crime, you think?
Let's separate it into two things. A camera in a public place, the research would generally tell us that it does not reduce violent crime, but it could reduce some property and annoyance crimes. That's separate from cameras on people's homes and businesses. I think the difference is not only what I just said, but home cameras and business cameras are at eyesight level. They're not a public camera in the air. So I think we have better chances of solving crimes with identification of somebody's face from a house or a business camera, because that's usually at street level or door level, whereas a public camera is up in the air. So the two work in concert. But again, to recap, the research on public cameras pointing down on street corners, very little effect on violent crimes, some effect on property and nuisance crimes, But that camera on your doorbell or that camera in a business is most likely to catch somebody's face.
And is that
a picture that you can use as a lead?
When it comes to the overhead camera, is that because of hot blood, passion, or beefs, whatever? It's like, I don't care if you see me or not, I'm taking this person out?
It has something to do with that. And remember this, violent crime is most often a crime between people who know each other and they're angry and something goes wrong and someone gets hurt. That's actually been the case for decades.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate the expertise. As always, we'll talk to J.P. Morrell when we come back about this old French Quarter thing. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.